In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And please be seated. The gospel today is actually about choices. Making healthy choices. And what we forget is that that has to be intentional. We can't wing it. We have to make decisions every day, from the moment we wake up to the time that we go to sleep. And in making those healthy choices and those healthy decisions, that's when we truly glorify God, when it is God's choice that we have been attentive to the Holy Spirit in the midst of making those choices. One of the number one human interest stories this week was Alex Trebek, who has come forward. Many of you know him. He's the host of Jeopardy for the last, what, 30 years?
35.
Can't wait to correct you later. Sermon's gone. Amen.
No.
So, he goes on television and he says, I have something to share with you in the effort of transparency. I need you to know I'm in stage 4 pancreatic cancer and I'm asking for your prayers. And we're going to continue to work. And then he uses this light-hearted spirit and he says, you see, I've got to be around for another 3 years because I'm on contract. And you can hear the producers and the directors both laughing and crying in the background. He does it with such dignity, such poise, such respect, and you can imagine the admiration. You see, he is in the middle of a wilderness experience. And he knows how important it is to pray your way through a wilderness experience. And then to surround yourself in prayer. And that's exactly what he does. How do you handle wilderness experiences? Do you surround yourself in prayer? Do you surround yourself in healthy, positive, affirming, encouraging people? Somebody else was correcting me the other day. Seems to be a pattern. And they said, oh no, you need people that will be critical and analyze and tell you what to do. I'll tell you, if I've got an IV in my arm with chemo and you correct me, you're going to enjoy the stick that's attached to the pole. I don't care who you are. But to surround yourself with positive, affirming, encouraging, supportive, faithful people. And to immerse yourself in prayer. After the baptism, Jesus was on an all-time high. And then he was driven into the wilderness. Have you ever noticed that after some of the peak experiences of your life, the best experiences of your life, you suddenly seem to be in a hole? If you've ever been through a wilderness experience, let me list them for you. A really tough appointment with your doctor. A divorce, a separation, the leaving of a child, the death of a child, the loss of a job, credit card bills beyond your imagination, the loss of a house, a mental health issue you just can't seem to get a grip on. These are wilderness experiences, and although most people don't talk about them, the reality is they're everywhere. We were with some good friends, and there had to be a very difficult conversation. And in the middle of the conversation, the gentleman stood up and left the room, went to the bathroom and came back and said, I just needed a minute alone before we could talk about this. Now I could hear him sobbing in the bathroom. You know, some of us were taught not to cry. If you cried, then you were told, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about. Remember this one? tell you it's very healthy to shed tears. I'm here to tell you that it's important to be able, in the midst of the wilderness experience, to lament, to shout at the throne of grace, to talk about how unfair the experience is. God's got broad shoulders. God can handle it. For Jesus, the wilderness experience was extraordinarily unique. He didn't have some pesky person bugging him. He had the opposite of God bugging him. We call it temptation. Some of us acknowledge that temptation exists in our lives. We say that we have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, using our head as a tennis racket. That there are positive and negative thoughts flowing through our minds at all times. And you see, Jesus had this unique ability, a giftedness, to address these things in this way. God's will, no. God's will, no. God's will, no. If it's not God's will, no. Some of you will remember many, many years ago, President Ronald Reagan's wife, Nancy, led an anti-drug campaign, and it was just say no. And anybody that was looking at it from the outside would just say, this very tiny but very determined woman would simply speak the words, just say no, and that everyone was listening. What you didn't know is that there was a multi-billion dollar policing all over the world to send troops in and devastate the drug control. And Nancy led it. If you don't think Nancy Reagan had a say in Ronald Reagan's life, then you're death blind. When she said, whispered to him, Ronnie, get her done. The troops went in by the thousands. What voices do you listen to? What voices help you make the decisions you make? Because it's about making choice, and you are responsible for your choices. There are some that say Lent is about guilt and shame. That's not who we are. It's about as gentle a reminder as I can that it's about making decisions immersed in prayer. Imagine how the conversation would change with your spouse, with your children, with your best friends, with your colleagues at work, with everywhere you go, if every time before you said something, you said inside of your head, Lord, give me the words. If you stopped before every action, no matter who it is, even if you think you are teasing, it can be taken in such a way that hurts someone beyond your imagination and hurts the relationship. To be careful what we say and what we do, to make important, healthy choices. Jesus in the wilderness was tempted with wealth and power and influence and control, and he said yes to God and no to the devil. I'm not asking you to go through your memory and beat yourself up for everything you've ever done. That's not God's way. But to move forward. Some of you are living in a wilderness right this minute in the midst of a very difficult relationship or in the midst of a tremendously difficult health issue. You are in the midst of wilderness. Allow us to surround you in love and care and prayer. Allow this community to be there for you. You do not have to go through this battle alone. Allow us to support you, to pray for you, to encourage you, to affirm you, to support you. Many, many years ago, a woman who Joyce and I love very much, we just think she's an extraordinary human being, And many, many years ago, when I was serving in Harold Colchester in Malden, she was going through a very, very difficult divorce. In his therapy, in her prayer life, she began to sew. Catherine referred to having some costumes. Well, Joyce and I drove to Essex County to pick up those 30 costumes and to bring those back. And when we arrived, this woman not only had made the rest of the costumes to make sure we had 30, but she had put them in individual bags with the size and whether it was male or female, and they were lined up across the back wall in her rec room. And she looked at me and she said, "This is a church function, might even make a little money, but most of all, these people will come together and laugh together and enjoy each other and build healthy relationships." She said, "Why don't you give me a stipend instead of the rental fee? A third of the cost. So we loaded them up in the truck and we brought them home, and there's 30 costumes downstairs that are waiting from this extraordinary woman who prays her way through her knitting and her sewing, and that was part of her healing from that most difficult time of wilderness in her life. As we were driving in Essex County, I was reminded, as we got a little too close to the edge of the road, of the 8-foot ditches on either side of the road. If you're ever traveling in that part of our world, you'll notice those ditches look like you go in, bye-bye. Some of you are in the midst of a ditch experience, and you're really not sure how to get out. Find somebody to talk to that you trust, and begin a prayer life that liberates you from the situation that you're in. And know, as Jesus made his way through the wilderness experiences, making healthy choices, that you too can make those by asking the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? And that know, like Christ in the wilderness, you are never alone. Now, some would say to me, "Stephen, the wilderness experience, there's suffering, there's pain, it's difficult." And you're absolutely right. I remember my mother singing this little phrase of, "Nobody ever promised you a rose garden." It's not all fluff and puff. Life can be very difficult. What you need to know is that when you weep, God weeps with you. When you laugh, God laughs with you. He's so close to you. He's so much a part of what you're going through. He needed to be so close to you that he sent the Holy Spirit to live in you. And like Christ, you will come out the other side of the wilderness. Every once in a while, I have the privilege and honor of being with people that are in the wilderness that are willing to share what they're going through. We have a young woman in our life right now who is in the mid to late stages of cancer. She's a young woman. Her children are about 12, 17, 18. And we're in constant communication with her. And the other day, somebody said, "How are you doing?" And her white count was so bad they couldn't do the chemo this week. And then she stares into the eyes of her 12-year-old little boy. And she says, "I will not give up." Even when you're in the bottom of the ditch, by faith, we need to be able to look up and never, ever, ever give up. I said, "What are you going to do now?" And she responded to me, "There's 5 treatments they can use for my cancer, and we're only on number 1. Maintaining hope and faith and courage in the midst of the darkest times. Reach out and take the hand of the person you trust the most. And as you would in the best moments of your life and the worst moments of your life, look at them and say, 'We're doing this together.'" Those of us in this room that live with life-threatening diseases know this. A sense of humor in the midst of this really helps. I love the guy who said to me, "Man, it's Steve, I wake every morning and I do this." Doesn't smell like dirt. Doesn't taste like dirt. This is a good day. I'm on this side of the grass. And even when everything seems like it's in turmoil, I encourage you to follow the example of Jesus and keep on keeping on. Every no he said to the devil in the desert was one step closer to the conclusion of temptations. Now, temptations. Temptations are all around us. So let's just tell the truth. Some you will get past. Some you will get through. Some you will get around, and some you're going to have to deal with, because we're all going to blow it today. We're all going to make mistakes today. But it's not how many times you fall down, it's how many times you get back up. It's not how many mistakes you make, it's how willing you are to ask for forgiveness and begin again. And know this, that in the midst of a culture of guilt and shame, this place, this faith, is about hope and love and forgiveness. Find safe places. Find safe places to share the hurts, to heal, and to get back up and go again. Amen.